Thank you. Morning. I can't say morning to the people there because there's nobody there, but when you look later on, hello. Wow, it's quite a morning. We're talking about the Lord breaking into situations and doing something different. If I were to ask you, what do you think was Jesus' most important miracle? I guess I get a lot of different answers. But I think it was the first one. And I'm going to tell you why this morning. So we're going to look at the wedding at Cana and turning water into wine. And the reason that I think it's the most important one, not necessarily the most spectacular, of course, but the most important, is that it set the pattern for everything that was going to follow. It set the way things were going to work, and it set who Jesus was and what was going to happen. And I want us to see that this morning, because it's a pattern for your life, both receiving and for giving out in ministry. And we've been looking at a series of how we minister in the Spirit, how we receive the Spirit, how we pray and get alongside the Holy Spirit, and how we can release Him, as it were, through us to bless many people. So I'd like us just to look at it again quickly. That we'll look at it in two parts. We'll say, let's look at the actual story itself, and I'll make a few comments there. Maybe some of you haven't heard before, and then we'll see what it's actually, how it applies to us. Okay. So we're at a wedding in Cana. Jesus is invited to a wedding. That wasn't particularly surprising, because when they had a wedding in those days, everybody went. All the village went, and everybody surrounding, it was the way it was. And so you turned up if there was an event in your area. And so there he was. In the Bible, weddings are generally, they're a type of the relationship between God and his people. Because you know that in the end of time, there's going to be a marriage between Jesus and the church. Did you know that? Did you know that you're a bride in preparation? And so weddings speak of where things are at spiritually. And we're in this situation here. The situation generally, when Jesus was there, you remember there'd been nothing for 400 years. The people were pretty empty. There wasn't much going on. John the Baptist had come through the whole area shouting, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's coming. Get ready, get ready." I wonder how many times they'd heard that in the last 400 years. And nothing happened. Oh, well, here we are again. Here we are again. But in this particular situation, what's the first... Let's put the first scripture up. Right, we haven't got there yet, never mind. So, okay, so in this situation, everything's going along all right until suddenly somebody whispers, "We're running out of wine. We're running out. What are we going to do?" There must have been a lot of drinking going on. Do you know, it was the very, very worst thing that could happen. It was the worst thing. What sort of event is this where they run out of the most important thing? We've all come here. They haven't even got enough wine here. Have you been to those do's where you're in the queue for the food, and when you get there, there's nothing there? What sort of do is this? This is really, seriously bad news. But it was indicative of where the people were. They had nothing to offer. It soon ran out. Very soon ran out. And Jesus' mother hears of this, and she sidles up to Jesus and says, "They're running out of wine." And Jesus goes, "So? What do you expect me to do?" I'm not going to go into all the theology of that this morning, because that's a bit too much. So, what happens then is that she just says to the people standing around, the servants, "Well, if he says anything, do it." Now, on the side, there were 6 stone jars, large ones. And it says that they were, if we get that other scripture, it says that they were used for purification. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Now, there's 2 things about this. First of all, they were empty as well. You can leave that up. That's okay. We'll leave that one up. They were empty. Symptomatic of the whole situation. But even more than that, there's something more important. The words, the number 6, as we hear so often from Pastor Robin, that in Hebrew, the numbers meant everything. Really important they were. Words had numerical values. And the number 6 was 1 less than 7. 7 was God's number. Completeness. 6 is the number for man's best efforts. It's not ever quite there. It never quite gets to 7. Now think about these 6 jars. What happens was, when people did anything in the temple or anything in their home, when they had Passover, when they celebrated, when they had Shabbat evening, Sabbath festivals and so on, they always, everything had to be washed. That was the law. The pots and pans, everything that were used had to be washed. And they were holy as well, because they were only used for that one purpose. If you went into the temple, those of you who've been to Jerusalem, you know, on the south side of the temple, there's all these dozens of mikvahs, which are the ceremonial baths. If you went into the temple, you had to get and wash first before you went in. Everything had to be washed. And there were 6 jars. And every now and again, they filled them with water. Think about it. Hey, we're going to go and there's going to be something. We're going to say, "Oh, Lord, we're all messed up again. We'll go to the jars. We'll wash ourselves. We'll go and get forgiven. We'll sin again. We'll go to the jars. We'll go and get forgiven. We'll sin again." Round and around and around and around. Number 6, round and around, never quite making it. Because that's how God ordained it. He said, "You're never going to quite make it until Jesus comes. But for the time being, we'll keep going round and around and around and around." 6 empty stone jars. Symbolizing that the fact that the people were nowhere. And Jesus says, "Fill the jars with water." Now, that wasn't a special thing, as I've just said. That's what they were used for. The people were used to filling them with water. "Oh, we're going to do something. He's going to wash his hands, or we're all going to wash our hands, or maybe he's going to put something in there that's special." And So we'll just fill all these jars up with water, all these stone jars. It says they're all together. So it's a big job. I think you're saying it's something like 180 gallons. 180 gallons. I don't know how big our pool is, but it must be something around that. That's a lot of water. Ferrying it backwards and forwards, keep filling the jars. So they filled the jars with water. What is that? Water, we know, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we've been encouraging each other to be filled. Here I am, Lord, fill me. And then we know that what happens is that it doesn't say Jesus prayed or anything. It says that he just said, go and pour it out now. And he takes it, they take it, not to everybody first, they take it to the man who was in charge. And they say, we've got, you know, you thought there was, well, we've got to drop more wine now. 180 gallons of the stuff. Okay, pour out a drop here. Oh my goodness, that is really good. That is really good. You've left the best till last. What a surprise. You see, this is what Jesus was about. I did not come to get away, to do away with your going round and around and around. I came to fulfill it. I came to bring an end to it. I want you to know that I am number 7. We're going to stop going round and around and around. Many of you came out to me for prayer this morning. How many of you feel like you're just going round and around and around with your best effort? You're doing your best. Nobody's saying that you're not, but there's still something missing. Jesus is missing. You need to know that mankind, and we've just prayed for a new prime minister. Forgive me for my cynicism, but I just get this sort of feeling we're going to go round and round again. Why? Because it's man's best effort. Man isn't capable of anything except going round and around and around. It needs Jesus to break in before that changes. It says then that he revealed his glory. Do you know, there's a very common Jewish prayer. And every time they took wine, they prayed this prayer. It was what we would call a grace. This is what they said. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Everybody who was at that wedding would have said that prayer. Great is our God, Lord our God, King of the universe. This is like a huge, great prayer. Then they say, thank you for the wine, Lord. Creator of the fruit of the vine. You are the one God we acknowledge is the one who makes this wine. And we've run out. And who makes the wine? Jesus. Why? Because it was his main statement of his ministry that was to come. I am the Lord. And all the people there, as far as we're aware, did not understand or recognize it. But it says that the disciples believed. Wow. Now, they may not have believed fully in that time. They may not have said, wow, this is the Messiah. But they certainly knew this is a man who has come from God, because only God can do that. It said that they believed. Jesus performed. He thus revealed his glory. And the disciples put their faith in him, because they knew who he was because of what he'd done. Blessed are you, Lord, who can do that. So, what is it going to mean for us today in July 2026 in Redditch? How is it going to change us? Or how is it going to impact our lives? Like I said, we've been talking about ministry in the spirit. So if you look at the story, who are you in the story? We look at that at Christmas, don't we? Say, take all these people in the story. Now, who do you think you are? Well, actually, are you the servants? No, I've got news for you. You are the stone jar. All lined up, waiting. Do you remember Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The glory of the Lord is hidden down in the jar. Hey, I can't see him. The glory of the Lord's down here. Is the glory of the Lord in your stone jar? We're waiting to be filled. We're lined up saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and fill me. Come and fill me to the brim. You've all gone very quiet. We've just been singing. I know it's not much, but I've nothing else to bring. All I've got to bring is just me, an empty jar. That says, Lord, fill me. Because I haven't got anything else to bring. I've nothing else fit for a king except an earthen empty vessel, but one that's willing to say, fill me. But do you know, it's not enough to be filled. Did you know that? Hey, the churches in this country are full of people who've gone this morning saying, hey, isn't it great here to be filled? Isn't it brilliant? I just love coming here to be filled. I'm going to come next Sunday and the same's going to happen again. And the Sunday afterwards. Hey, I'm just going to sit here. Isn't it great to be filled? Do you know, if those jars had just stayed filled, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. You see, you have to be poured out as well. Do you remember the woman who came to anoint Jesus? She brought an alabaster box of beautiful perfume. Do you know? If she didn't pour it out, nothing would have happened. If she didn't pour it out, there would have been no fragrance. She had to take it and she had to pour it out. And some of those people said, what are you doing that for? What a waste. Jesus went to the cross. He poured out his life for you and for me. He allowed himself to be broken and poured out for each one of us. Why? So that we could receive what had happened. You see, you only pour it out so that the people that are on the other end receive. Look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. That's the last one, guys. It's coming up anyway. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Read it again. Thanks be to God. Let's give thanks to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, because we've received what he poured out to us, and now through us spreads everywhere, each one of us, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Why? Or how? Because we pour it out as well. You can't keep it for yourself. You can't be at ease in Zion and say, how great this is. You get filled in order that you can pour it out. And what comes out of you? Well, as a fragrance, if we use that picture. But going back to the story, what comes out of you when the water goes out in, it isn't water that comes out, it's wine. Wow. How is that? Have you ever thought? They put the water in the stone jars. At what point did it become wine? It's a good theoretical question, isn't it? Who knows that? I think it didn't become wine until it was poured out. I think that if it had stayed in the jars, it would have stayed water. Because it's in the pouring out that things change. It's in the pouring out that I can bring my own very imperfect, whatever it is I might have. And when it gets out there, something changes. Was it me? No. I had a woman come up to me a few weeks ago now, maybe a couple of months or more. I just met her at a function. She said, oh, hi, Andrew. I said, hi. Do you remember that word you gave me? No. I don't know how many years before. It was, 15 years ago or something. It was a long time ago. We were praying for her in church because she was going to go as a missionary to some organization in Germany. And people were praying, and I just said, Lord, he said, tell her that when she gets there, it's not going to be the same as she thinks it is. tell her that it's going to be completely different. She thinks she's going to one job, but she's going to get another one. Oh, well, okay. So I went and said, just wanted you to know, by the way, I think the Lord is saying that when you get to Germany, you're going to be in for a big shock, because the job you're going to find yourself having to do is not the one you think you're going to do. Oh, right, okay, yes. And years later, this year, from I think I might have said this probably, don't know, 2012 or something, she came, she said, I've never seen her since. I didn't even know she was back in this country. In fact, I didn't even remember that she'd gone. But that's my age, I know. She came and she said, do you know I went to Germany? Oh, yes, of course, I remember you going to Germany. Yes, yes, yes. She said, do you know, you gave me that word. I said, did I? She said, it was exactly as you said it would be. But I was prepared. I just gave her what felt like a casual word. But when she got to Germany, she found that it was wine. Because when you pour out something for the Lord, you give what's you don't think maybe is very important. But when it gets to the other end, the Holy Spirit has changed it into something else. That's why he calls every one of us to ministry. And it's why you don't think you can do it, and you're right. You think, man, I've just got a cup of water here. What am I going to do with that? But the Holy Spirit says, no, you pour out your water and I'll make it into wine. I'll turn it into wine. So, will you offer yourself? Will you come as an empty jar and offer yourself? Will you say to the Holy Spirit, come and fill me? Come and fill me to the brim. Would you get rid of the rubbish that's in the jar, which we've talked about before, so it's a fairly clean jar and get as much of the Spirit in as possible? Will you commit yourself to be poured out as wine, as a beautiful fragrance of Jesus to the people you meet? That you rub shoulders with, you talk to. Will you release the Lord's resurrection life wherever you go? We're going to take communion now. I'd just like us to be, I put it off so that it would have it. We take the wine after I'd spoken. But as we do that, Sandra's going to come and lead us. We're going to just prepare our hearts. So let's just pray. Let's just pray. I'll pray. Come on up, Sandra. It's okay. Father, I want to thank you for who you are, for who Jesus is and who you sent him to be among us on earth. I want to thank you right at the very, very beginning of his ministry. He declared exactly what was going to happen and who he was. And he even declared how his life would end. He would be poured out for us all. And so, Father, I pray by your Spirit that you'd speak to each one of us. You'd stir our hearts, Lord. And you'd cause us to say yes, Lord, to your word. And let your blessing and grace be upon each one of us. Amen.